It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. You can follow us on Twitter if you don't already, at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, can you tell people why it's important to follow fantasy analysts on Twitter, how that's helpful to them?
Yeah, it's a really underrated thing. I get emails from people that listen to the podcast and say, hey, you know, I wanted to get in contact with you, talk to you about this or whatever. And I'm like, guys, get on Twitter. It's so much easier. It's accessible. I check it throughout the day so much. Emails, it's like they get backed up and, you know, it's trying to separate the business ones from not. Whereas Twitter, when I go there, it's basically all about, you know, responding to you guys if I can. And even in the worst case scenario, if I don't respond, that's where you can find out about all of our new articles. You know, Bobby does this grading article where it gives you quick grades on all the players. I do the primer that has a paragraph on every single player from every game. I do a weekly waiver wire stash article. You know, Bobby does articles on bold predictions. There's so much coming out. It's just a way to stay in touch and like be notified whenever those articles do come out.
Or anytime that we have a thought, like after we record our podcast, we record the DFS one on Thursdays. And if we've got any thoughts between Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we post them on Twitter. Like I was begging people, hey, pick up Jake Kumerow. I think he's in a good spot this week. And you might have missed that if you weren't on Twitter. There's just stuff like that that, you know, we're posting quick hitting thoughts and responding to as many people as we possibly can. But, you know, if you keep the questions nice and short, or even if you make it a poll, I'm going to answer every single time because it's super easy. But yeah, you can get a lot of questions answered that way. So there's a lot of people who didn't ever use Twitter before. They realized it was going to be helpful to fantasy football. And when they started following, they're like, hey, this really helped my experience. We just want you guys to win. That's what it's about.
For sure. And the thing is, most people tie it to like a social media thing and they don't have Facebook and they don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. Believe me, I'm not a Facebook guy either. I'm not a social media guy that like is all the time on social media. But Twitter is like a news source. You don't have to follow your friends. You don't have to do anything like that. Make it all about the information.
So, Tags, here's the plan for today, man, okay? We're going to be talking waiver wire for Week 8. It's a better waiver wire because we had some injuries, and, you know, we hate the injuries, but it definitely does help us from a waiver wire perspective. And what we're going to do, we've got a great guest coming on. It's Chris Harris of the Harris Football Podcast and harrisfootball.com. He's going to be talking running backs and wide receiver waiver wire pickups with us. And then Tags and I are just going to do quarterbacks, tight ends, DST streamers, and then our usual Monday segments where we're going to do drop or keep, a lightning round of that, and then some players that we want to buy low on, sell high on. Tags, you ready to get into this, man?
Absolutely.
All right, and we're now joined by Chris Harris. You can follow him on Twitter at Harris Football. Chris does the Harris Football Podcast. And Chris, can you tell them a little bit about your YouTube channel?
We do like 5 YouTube shows a week, youtube.com/HarrisFootball, where a lot, you know, it's 5 podcasts a week too. I'm a glutton, you guys. Holy cow.
And we're recording this on Monday, and this is your busiest day of the week because you watch every play from every game. Are you going to go to sleep after this?
I would like to. I can't because I got to watch more games and I got to watch Monday Football. But yeah, the YouTube show is cool because, you know, on the podcast, we can only talk about, as you guys know on this show, like you can only talk about what you saw, talk about things that happened. But on the YouTube show, you can pick out stuff and we actually just show game film. I'm actually not, my beautiful face doesn't appear anywhere on the YouTube channel anymore. It's just game film.
That's a bummer.
I know it is. It is. America has lost. The world has lost something quite valuable. But no, it's me explaining some stuff. Like we put out our waiver show right around probably when this comes out, maybe a little before, where we'll probably show some plays from some of the guys that we'll talk about here. And I'll break down film this week, I think, on Josh Jacobs and probably some trade stuff. So anyway, it's fun.
Awesome. All right, well, here's the plan. While we've got you, we're going to talk running backs, wide receivers. These are players who are available in at least 50% of leagues. So some of these players won't be available, but they will be in your more shallow leagues. We'll start at the running back position. It's not as deep as wide receiver, but it's better than it's been in the past couple of weeks. At least that's the way that I see it. Now I'm looking at Ty Johnson with Kerryon Johnson out, Benny Snell with maybe James Conner out, and then a couple handcuffs, Alexander Mattison, Daryl Henderson, and then Mark Walton, who seems to take over the job in Miami. Which of these guys do you like the best, Chris?
I like Ty Johnson, you know, situationally. So he's someone who I broke down the film of for the YouTube channel. And this game wasn't great. He didn't really, you know, Kerryon Johnson was in for about a quarter and looked like his typical shot out of a cannon self. And of course, that in his inimitable Ahmad Bradshaw style got him hurt, like Ahmad Bradshaw used to get. And so Ty Johnson comes in. And it's hard to know where Ty Johnson not being that great in this game starts and the Minnesota run defense being really good. And, you know, like it's a hard game to come in cold and start and to be good in. And he wasn't good. But I went back and showed a few plays from the Charger game in week two. He legitimately has something going on. Comes into the league with a reputation for not a lot of power, pretty decent vision, okay speed, pretty good lateral agility, like. There's something that actually, funnily enough, in week seven, thought J.D. McKissic looked better, but he played way fewer snaps. He was much more of a gadget guy. I would say since Ty Johnson is not really owned in, you know, it's like 2% of leagues or something, he's probably the waiver out of the week, especially for Kerryon Johnson owners. But let's see if they sign C.J. Anderson. They may need someone big to go, you know, depends on how long this injury is for Kerryon.
So, Tags, I've got Ty Johnson as my number one running back pickup as well, just because of the opportunity here and because of the matchups that they have coming up. Do you agree with Chris and I?
I think that you can make the case for any of the top three running backs, Ty Johnson, Mark Walton, and Benny Snell, to be the pickup this week. It just depends on what you're looking for. Mark Walton might be a long-term solution. I'm not saying that it's going to be great because it is the Miami Dolphins. They don't have a great offensive line. They're not a high-scoring team. But with bye weeks in full effect, you could use someone that's already gotten his bye out of the way. And it seems like the Dolphins are inevitably going to trade Kenyon Drake. They've already announced that they have him on the block. They're willing to deal him. Benny Snell is the other one that I'd be curious to hear Chris's input on, because I do believe that James Conner is going to play, but Conner over his last 11 games has not totaled more than 16 carries in a contest. So with that being the case, and knowing that the Dolphins typically see over 30 running back touches per game against them, if you're looking for one running back this week, let's pretend it's a very, very short-term solution. Would you rather take Benny Snell or Ty Johnson?
I'd go Benny Snell.
I'm probably going Ty Johnson. I know, you know, the Benny Snell rabbit hole is the thing that led people to Devin Singletary. Like, how could the other guy not go crazy against the Dolphins? Ha ha ha! Free money!
This is assuming James Conner is out. And I probably shouldn't assume that. I'd say there's probably a 70% chance Conner plays, but I don't understand why they would rush him back when they've got a game against Miami. They can give him two bye weeks in a row and then let him be fresh going up against Indianapolis, a game that they would need to win.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Do you think the Steelers are still in this? I guess maybe they are. My feeling is probably I'm with Tags. I think James Conner probably plays just because you had the week off and he was able to come back into the game that he got hurt. And then he came out again.
It's not like we'll know if James Conner is going to play by the time you need to set your waiver wire pickup. So that's why I've got Ty Johnson as my number one. He doesn't look great. He looks better than Benny Snell, which really isn't saying much. What do you think about Mark Walton? I seem to recall that you had him in your top five last week, Chris, when we talked.
Yeah, you were on my show and we we counted him down and I had Walton as a top five guy. Sure, he belongs on some deep league rosters. Tags nailed it, though. The problem isn't with Mark Walton. He's okay. You know who Mark Walton is? He's Matt Breida. He's Philip Lindsay. He's one half of a pairing, the smaller half, the quicker half, the pass catching, potentially the better half of a future functional platoon for the Dolphins or someone else. He's decent, but Tags nailed it. I mean, the problem is just in the very short term, if you're just completely struggling, week eight will only be a two team bye week. So hopefully you can do better than Mark Walton just with your own roster. But there's a 6-team bye coming up in a couple of weeks. There might be a world where you could use Walton. Just so tough to. I don't want to go to battle with any Miami Dolphins just because, you know, you're gonna have to try to rely on players in games you need to win, not just games you can kind of frump away in week eight.
So, you know, with Kerryon Johnson, he's likely, I would imagine, going to be out in week eight now. But if he's out longer, they've got a couple decent matchups coming up. They get Oakland in week 9, Washington in week 12. I don't think it's probably going to be that long, but I think you could start Johnson for the majority of that time. And so I've got him number one as a result. But Benny Snell's limited to 1 week. Now, the guys with upside, I actually like these guys a little bit more than Mark Walton. Alexander Mattison, the high-end backup for Dalvin Cook. Daryl Henderson, the high-end backup for Todd Gurley. Now, Chris, do you think Henderson has passed up Malcolm Brown as the number two when Malcolm Brown gets healthy?
I would have maybe thought that before this Atlanta game. But honestly, at some point, I go, if it's not, like, they can't block anybody. They couldn't move the Falcons. It's pathetic. It might be the worst offensive line in the league now, at least on the interior. It's so bad. Todd Gurley is shouting from the sideline. They gave him a carry in garbage time from the one, just trying to like throw him a bone. He'd already scored a touchdown, but they were trying to throw him a bone, get him another one. Lost 4 yards and got up and just started shouting at the sidelines. Like, what am I supposed to do? So Henderson didn't have any more success than Gurley did because nobody would have, because Walter Payton wouldn't have. And so I don't know. You know, truthfully, there's no way of knowing whether Malcolm Brown being injured was part of this guard changing. You and I, when we talked, agreed that Henderson is far more dynamic than Malcolm Brown, but sometimes you need the big bruising bull, and it'd be hard. If there were no Gurley in the picture at all, it'd be hard for me to say either one is worth anything because it's just a mess there.
Sure. Well, they went with C.J. Anderson last year over John Kelly, and it ended up going really well. So maybe that's what would happen with Malcolm Brown. But you're right. The offensive line is totally different. Now, Tags, what do you think about Daryl Henderson just this week alone? Forget the upside. This week against Cincinnati, does he get a dozen touches? And against Cincinnati, is that worth starting?
If Malcolm Brown is out, he probably does get a dozen touches. Cincinnati's terrible. Like, they're legit. They can't tackle. They're hurting the secondary. I have no idea what Jacksonville did against them. That was a game I didn't watch too much of yesterday. So it's like, when going through the games this week, I'll go back and watch that one. But basically, yes, if Malcolm Brown is out again, but Darrell Henderson, Chris hit it on the head here. It's like, this offense is not what it was supposed to be. Jared Goff, going back to, I think it was week 12 of last year, he has not been the same quarterback. And it kind of leaked over into the Atlanta game. He wasn't great in that game. That was a game that it was supposed to be a confidence builder for this team. Atlanta came into that game even more shorthanded than they were the week before. And I know they won that game in blowout fashion, but watching the game, because I did watch a lot of that one, it wasn't like a convincing victory for me that Jared Goff, like, people should start getting confidence in that offense all over again. Gurley is clearly the one that they want to have this role, because when Gurley's going, this offense is going. And Henderson, he was a guy that they were hesitant to give a role to begin with. So as soon as Malcolm Brown is healthy, they're going to put him back on the field.
Yeah, I would assume so. I don't know why they spent the draft capital on Henderson. I think Henderson's the better player, but regardless, I think Chris nailed it when he said it doesn't really matter. If Todd Gurley goes out, it's just going to be a split backfield. The coaches have told us that. They've showed us that. And so that's what I would expect. All right, guys, we've obviously got more running backs to talk about, but first I want to tell you about one of the sponsors of today's show, ButcherBox. You guys are going to love ButcherBox. When it showed up at my door, I couldn't believe how much meat was in there. But it's not just about the quantity. Quality really matters too. Most of the meat you buy at the grocery store, it's pumped with water to make the meat just appear to be more. I don't know about you, but when I buy meat, I want to eat meat. Plus, the animals aren't given these nasty antibiotics or nitrates that are going to end up in your body. Friends, this is a no-brainer. Every month, I get 24 meals worth of meat delivered right to my door. It's packed fresh, shipped frozen, and vacuum sealed, so it stays that way. With Thanksgiving right around the corner, now's the perfect time for you to try ButcherBox. And if you sign up today, you're going to get a free turkey plus $20 off your first box. Folks, I'm not lying to you. You're going to taste the difference in quality with ButcherBox. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/fantasypros or enter fantasypros, all one word, at checkout, and you're going to get a free turkey and $20 off your first order. That's butcherbox.com/fantasypros or enter the promo code fantasypros. Now, what about Alexander Mattison? He plays on Thursday night. He goes up against Washington, and so I would imagine that he's going to get touches.
You love him so much.
I do.
He's looked fantastic when he's on the field, but I mean, he's a handcuff is what he is.
Yeah. I know how much you love him. He's good.
I love the situation more. If something happened to Dalvin Cook, I think Alexander Mattison would be an RB1 every week.
Yeah, at least we would start out that way, and there'd be a pretty good chance he could stick with it. It might be right now the best offensive line in the game. It's up there. They're killing people.
Well, run blocking, their pass blocking, I don't think is quite there yet, but...
Although the last three games, pretty good, you know, they didn't have a lot of problems. And I think the last 3 weeks, Kirk Cousins is the QB2. And a lot of that has been standing back there, patting the ball, let Stephon Diggs run 10-second routes. Sure. If you're a Dalvin Cook owner in any kind of scarcity situation, you should own Mattison. And there's an argument to be made that even if you're not a Dalvin Cook owner, you could take the chance on a stash. The stashes get harder to justify as your own players get hurt, as Nick Chubb owners have to try to add Kareem Hunt, as, you know, all the various things that we're going to be wind up telling people to do.
All the bye weeks.
That's right. There is a 16 bye week coming up in a few weeks. But that said, we don't know if and when Dalvin Cook might get hurt, and there's no argument to be made. Mattison is not Dalvin Cook, but he's sort of that same style of player, sort of a bigger, slower version of Dalvin Cook, but still good and better than Latavius Murray last year. So I'm with you.
Okay, let's go to the wide receiver position, which is a lot deeper. Maybe the top end's not quite as high. Actually, my number one waiver wire pickup this week is a wide receiver, but I count 14 guys I really wouldn't mind having at the end of my roster. Now, granted, we can't pick them all up, of course, but we do need to crown a number one. I've got Kenny Stills there. Who do you have, Chris?
Kenny Stills. I have Ty Johnson one overall and Kenny Stills two overall. I made sort of a annoyingly big production on my show about Will Fuller was a get rid of him. This is before he got hurt. I don't believe in Will Fuller. I believe he exists. I just don't believe he's all that.
He does exist.
Yeah, I believe he's all that good. You know, just this is what Will Fuller does. He's a Deshaun Jackson for our era. You know, he gets hurt and he makes one or two big plays, drops a bunch of passes, gets hurt again. lather, rinse, repeat. I would say Kenny Stills is a better player than Will Fuller anyway. And I don't think Will Fuller's all that good at football. He's fast and that's it. I think Kenny Stills runs routes. I don't think Will Fuller does. But anyway, regardless, we're missing Fuller now for a few weeks. Who cares what I think of Will Fuller? And it is interesting because Stills was more the slot player when Fuller's in there, and now you'd imagine, I mean, they're going to mix it up, right? DeAndre Hopkins played plenty of slot yesterday, but I think you're going to see more Keke Coutee in the slot and Stills on the outside. Love it. Give me the better version, the more durable version of Will Fuller on the outside to make a couple of big plays. I'm with you.
It's funny because I don't really like Will Fuller, the football player, all that much too. I mean, he does compile fantasy points, so like, I guess I'm not going to complain too much. Now, it's volatile, as we've seen this season, where he's got one game over 10 PPR fantasy points. But, you know, I thought it was going to be Keke Coutee. I was wrong. Kenny Stills played the vast majority of the snaps once Will Fuller went out. And Coutee played 36% fewer than Kenny Stills. You've got the number two wide receiver on a superstar quarterback's roster. He's my number one pickup. I'd make him priority. I'd spend 50% of my fab budget. Is he your number one two tags?
Did you say 50?
I'd spend 50% of my fab budget on Kenny Stills.
That's too high.
Yeah, that's too high for me.
As long as Will Fuller's out, 3 to 6 weeks, we've got ourselves a wide receiver three fringe wide receiver two in my mind.
Oh, wow. I mean, wide receiver two, those are guaranteed performers.
I mean, what was Will Fuller?
He was an upside wide receiver three that you kind of live with the ups and downs in his performances. And I think it's going to be something similar with Kenny Stills. I do like Stills the player. And as Chris said, QT is going to line up in the slot. That's going to be it going forward. And the air, like in terms of like the depth of target, Kenny Stills was getting targeted down the field near Will Fuller's depth. It was 13.2 yards for Stills, 14.3 for Fuller. So it's natural for him to go into that field stretching role. He has caught, I think, 15 of 18 or 15 of 19 targets from Watson. So those two got on the same page despite not having a full offseason to work together. Stills has been efficient wherever he goes. Like, that's been his MO, going back to New Orleans, going to Miami, now with Houston. The question is like, what's his target ceiling? Like Hopkins, we saw him finally get the double-digit targets last week. QT is obviously going to be the chain mover in the offense. I like Stills, but I think it's almost interchangeable with the way that Will Fuller, that you treated him. It's like you understand there's going to be some ups and downs in his performances, and you plug him in as a wide receiver three more often than not, especially this week against Oakland, a team that just traded away one of their starting cornerbacks. So I like Stills. Dan and I had this conversation on the podcast last night, and he likes Stills quite a bit. And I'm like, I like him, but not as much as Corey Davis. If Corey Davis is available, I'd take him over Stills.
He's my number two as well, going up against Tampa Bay. Ryan Tannehill seems to be throwing to him like he's the number one, because he is the number one. Free Corey Davis. Chris, is it finally happening?
No.
Oh, man, I think you're wrong on this one, Chris. We're going to have to fight.
I can't go there with you, man. I'm sorry. You guys are really believing in Ryan Tannehill? Oh, come on.
You've got to think it's an upgrade over Mariota, though, right?
It was an upgrade.
It was a noticeable upgrade in this game. I'll tell you what. They have very similar styles. The thing that Tannehill had a problem with his whole time in Miami was holding onto the ball too long, not really being able to read the defense, not exactly knowing where to go with the ball, and then quickly throwing it right at the very end. And often it was check downs, but he would always murder you with an interception at the wrong time. That's what Tannehill does. It's his move, one would say. And what I saw on Sunday was him doing the same thing. Mariota just has this way of holding the ball, then taking a sack, right? And what happens with Tannehill is he holds the ball, and then quickly, furiously gets rid of it. Blah! I'm almost dead, but I'm not. And he throws it. And this time, he nailed a lot of tight windows. Oh my God, come on. Oh my God, it's not gonna...
He goes up against Tampa Bay this week.
But part of that's the allure right here. Like, so the idea is to get instant gratification, and Tampa Bay on the schedule gives you that instant gratification because their cornerbacks are absolutely terrible.
Yeah, it's smart. It's smart to say that if you're really desperate, you could go ahead and use Corey Davis. But like... I think, you could, you know, Tannehill the streamer if you're in a two quarterback league just in desperation mode. I get that.
One quarterback league streamer this week.
I don't know. I mean, again, if you have...
Chris is going to puke on the podcast. It's a good thing this isn't a video podcast.
If you have Lamar Jackson and you have nothing else and there's nothing else in your league, then you're right. You don't have a lot of choice because Jackson's or Dak, you know, they're off. They're good, really good quarterbacks. I won't debate some of the numerical stuff that you're saying, and not only that, but your knowledge of what Tampa looks like as an opponent. All I'll say is, how many years did people tell us that Ryan Tannehill and Miami in a good matchup, you should use them? You should use them. and then it wouldn't always go very well because he's Ryan Tannehill. All of this is always so contingent on the listener and what they need and how badly they... I wouldn't be spending any fab on Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, Ryan Tannehill, anything related with Tennessee's offense, because I just feel like I've seen the movie, right? But to some degree, if you find yourself in a kind of a crushed situation where guys are hurt or on bye, I get why. I don't know. I'm trying to make an excuse. I don't want these guys.
I'm a fan of Cole Beasley moving forward. I know he didn't really do much against Miami, but the slot's really the only position that they've defended well this season. And so, you know, Cole Beasley did have a rough, well, I guess he got in the end zone, but it was a rough game, 3 for 16 yards. You know, he's got as many targets this year as Tyler Lockett, as a couple of guys in that range. And he goes up against Philadelphia, Washington, Cleveland, Miami the next 4 weeks. I don't just think he's a streamer in week 8. I think you can use him for the next month in the flex.
Do you love 4 catches for 34 yards?
I mean, I'm looking more along the weeks 1 through 4 where we went 5 for 40, 4 for 83, 8 for 48, 7 for 75. It's not sexy, but you know, I'll take the 12 PPR points.
It does strike me as a class, as like this week 8 class of potential waiver ads. You mentioned a lot. There are a ton of receiver names. We'll get to a whole lot of them. I can't see my way towards being excited about anybody but Kenny Stills. Honestly, he's the only one who feels like he's in with a really good quarterback who's just so aggressive, wants to go down the field. You know, Josh Allen is the exact opposite. He's sure, he wants to go downfield, but everybody in Buffalo is going, please don't do that. You know, and so Cole Beasley. It's again, fine. It's 7 for 47 then, but I just can't get into 7 for 47 as an ad.
I'll do 7 for 47. If you can get me 7 for 47 off the waiver wire, sign me up. I'm happy.
but you don't want to start them.
This week, there's only two teams on bye, so it's not like a bye-heavy week. But when you do have those six teams on bye and Beasley's already got his out of the way, I do think he's usable throughout the bye weeks if you're looking for a high-floor replacement. Like, once you get outside, like, the top 25 receivers, it's like you're staring at guys that are so... I mean, it depends on what you're looking for, I guess, because, like, that's why Will Fuller or Kenny Stills belong in that wide receiver three conversation, because even though they're not going to hit every single week, you're kind of living with the volatility in order to get the highs. You're never going to get those highs with Cole Beasley, but you're probably going to have a safer floor.
So, Tex, do you have another wide receiver that you're very fond of besides Kenny Stills and Corey Davis?
Not really. I mean, Geronimo Allison should be owned, but I'm not excited about him. Devontae Parker has touchdowns in three straight weeks, but they're going against Pittsburgh this week. Joe Hayden's likely to be in coverage on him. Again, like Chris said, you know, we've talked about it in the show for quite a bit. Like this year, it's saying that you just don't want to tie yourselves to the Miami offense. Like it's a bad feeling when you put them in your lineup. You never, ever, ever feel good about it. And it's kind of like how I feel about Deontay Johnson. Somehow he's only owned in 13.8% of leagues. He's looked better with Mason Rudolph out there. He's gotten a bigger opportunity than James Washington. But I do expect some of that production to start shifting Juju's way. So he's not even someone I'm excited about grabbing, but it's ugly, man.
I'll tell you the 1 week replacement that I would like probably better than Beasley. I guess Tags is right though. If you're not thinking safety, if you're thinking like give me a pop, is I would maybe take a shot on Olabisi Johnson, because we're not going to have Adam Thielen, because Kirk Cousins is in a total role because it's a short week and you know Thielen just not, you know, if it were Sunday, I would imagine Thielen might even play, but he's not going to on a Thursday night. And Olabisi Johnson's touchdown was a 1 yard little thing that Stephon Diggs got held in the end zone. They got to the one, they threw it to Johnson. But he's been interesting, and I do sometimes take note of these sort of medium athletes who come from, was he Colorado State, I think, who come from sort of the mid programs, but pretty good solid programs, and then work their way up the depth chart in a way that you don't expect. And you know, he's been pretty clearly ensconced as the number three receiver there for a while. It strikes me that he's going to be the two for 1 week. So as a total dice roll with a little bit of upside, I kind of like him.
I think that's fair. I mentioned his name a couple weeks ago, although I think I butchered the pronunciation. You nailed it, though.
Olabisi. I think they call him BC. I think they just call him BC.
What about Alex Erickson? Like, obviously, you know, it's like anytime you see a wide receiver...
14 targets.
Yeah, get double-digit targets, let alone 14 of them. Like, we have to consider it. It seems like the Bengals are a very top-heavy offense. They're going against the Rams in London this week. We fully anticipate the Rams being up in that game. So it's like, you know, kind of like every week with the Bengals, we're expecting a lot of pass attempts out of them. If they could ever get their hands on the ball, it's a very top-heavy offense. They're not targeting their tight ends a bunch. They're not targeting their running backs. That's why the wide receivers, we're seeing Auden Tate, minimum 6 targets. Erickson over the last 2 weeks, 20 targets. Is he someone that you feel like he could be a potential 1 week solution?
In the way that Cole Beasley can be, they're sort of the same player. You know, I guess I'm more interested in Beasley just because as little as I like Josh Allen, I trust Andy Dalton less. Maybe that's not true. I don't know who I trust less. I mean, for fantasy, I don't like Dalton as much. Maybe in real life I do. I don't know. I don't like either one. I mean, Auden Tate's the one to talk about, right? He's probably not eligible for this list because he's probably owned in too many leagues, but
not quite, but he's good.
He's been a real revelation on film the last couple of weeks. You know, started out where he's going to thrust into the starting role, and I remembered the name, and I remembered a little bit of hype behind him, and kind of saw that first game where he had some production, but didn't really look very good, had a bad drop, and just I was in my scoffing way, my sarcastic way, was able to just go, eh, you know, meh, Auden Tate. And these past couple of games, he's really been a baller. Like he is. Body control, tracking the ball, making Dalton look better than he is with, you know, catching balls that necessarily shouldn't be caught.
And he's a humongous man.
Yeah, big guy. I'll compare him to Preston Williams, who, honestly, you give me a choice between Preston Williams and Devontae Parker. Again, I've seen the movie with Devontae Parker. The second you go, ooh, three times, and Tags was not endorsing Devontae Parker by any stretch of the imagination, but the moment someone goes, cool, I'm going to catch some of that sweet Devontae Parker magic with three touchdowns in three games, woo, here we go, he's going to forget to wear his sock, he's going to accidentally wear it over his eyes and like crash his car on the way to the stadium. He's a knucklehead, and I don't want any part of him, whereas Preston Williams...
I like Preston Williams, I just wish he wasn't in Miami, he's awesome.
But again, like he, you know, just Auden Tate and Preston Williams strike me as similar kinds of athletes. Maybe Tate's a little more exciting as an athlete, but if I'm in a dynasty league, I'm thinking Preston Williams. And again, I think as a 1 week, maybe kind of upside, if Joe Hayden's going to pay attention somewhere else, I want it to be Ryan Fitzpumpkin for sure. call him Ryan Fitzpumpkin because, you know, he's going to turn into a pumpkin at some point. But I say Preston Williams as an upside guy, too. And I launched into this out of Alex Erickson. But I mean, for me, Erickson kind of is the Cole Beasley, like, you're going to get something, but it might not be that exciting.
All right, guys, we've got a couple more wide receivers to ask Chris about before we let him out of here. But first, I want to tell you about one of our new sponsors, Eero. When I moved into my new house, I had a really hard time deciding, you know, do I want to work in the unfinished room that I'm eventually going to finish, or do I want to work across the house in a much better room? Now, the Wi-Fi was not good here, but when I got Eero, it totally changed the ballgame, and now I get great Wi-Fi, just as good as I would have got where my router set up in that unfinished room. Eero is the Wi-Fi that your home deserves, and there's an all-new Eero starting at just $99. And here's how it works, okay? Eero blankets your whole home with fast, reliable Wi-Fi, eliminating those poor coverage, dead spots, and buffering. You'll have a consistently strong signal wherever you need it. Eero sets them in just minutes. It plugs right into your modem or your modem/router box. And you can manage it from a dead simple app. The app lets you pause the Wi-Fi for dinner and get alerts if any device attempts to join your network. No more Netflix buffering in the master bedroom. No more kids complaining that their Xbox isn't getting signal. No more worrying that the security camera is going to be offline when you need it. Eero has fixed my issue where I can get Wi-Fi in the room I want to be in, and it can fix your issue as soon as tomorrow. Go to Eero.com/fantasypros and enter code fantasypros at checkout, all one word, to get free overnight shipping with your order. That's Eero.com/fantasypros, code fantasypros at checkout to get your Eero delivered with free overnight shipping. You must use this URL to receive the offer, though. It's Eero.com/fantasypros, code fantasypros, all one word. So text message Geronimo Allison. It was actually Alan Lazard who led the team in snaps, which was really interesting. Do you think there's any chance, Chris, that this continues and that maybe you would take a shot on him against Kansas City?
Lazard, no. I mean, I think they're all just, like, MVS is the one who makes two big plays, actually. One was sort of by design to be a big play, first play of the third quarter, I think, and then he has the touchdown at the very end.
And he did it by only playing 35% of the game. I mean, obviously, that's going to go up.
He was hurt, right, and he was able to get through the game. And I just don't think he's good either. Like, I think the problem is that none of them stand apart from any of the rest of them skills-wise. Lazard had one catch. I don't know if you guys saw that game.
I did.
It was down the left sideline. I mean, he got crushed, right? And held onto it, like leaping in midair. It was like at the 5-yard line down the left sideline where I go, okay, that's a difference-making play relative to anything anybody else has done in this game. I don't think Rodgers even completed a pass to a receiver until like 7 minutes to go in the second quarter. I think I'm just going to say, sure, it looks like a good matchup against Kansas City. Unless Davante Adams is in there, I don't rush to start any of them because we're in the land where any of them can make a play.
All right, I guess we probably need to talk about Danny Amendola as well going up against the Giants. It's not very exciting. He did have 11 targets, 8 receptions, 105 yards against Minnesota. Now he gets the Giants, Oakland in the next 2 weeks. Is this a streamer that you're fond of, Tags?
I mean, it's kind of like a pick your poison moment for Detroit. Like, the Giants are beat all over the field. It's really tough to say because Amendola has been like feast or famine. He has two games over 100 yards, and then every other game is like less than 40 yards. So it's kind of like an in-between. I don't think they need to necessarily target him a whole bunch against the Giants, so I'm not too interested in him. The one player I would actually take over him is Anthony Miller.
Oh, sure, yeah.
He's popping back up on the radar. I know everybody dropped him, myself included, but this Bears offense is going to be throwing the ball a bit more than I think anybody expected them to, because this defense is falling apart. Miller has been targeted quite a bit. I think he saw 9 targets this week. It was 7 targets when they were in London. He played more snaps than Taylor Gabriel, so he's on the field. I'm not saying that you want to tie yourself to the Bears offense right now, but it can only get better. And if you're seeing target numbers like that, you're at least on the radar. So it's like picking him up and saying, okay, well, if Allen Robinson, they're going to start double teaming him or bracketing him in coverage, Anthony Miller might see the benefit of that. It's not sexy, but it's a name that I wanted to bring up. Chris, did you have any feelings about Anthony Miller?
Just having watched that game, I forgot he played for them until it was garbage time, except for that fumble on the jet sweep. it was not really a very impressive performance out of Anthony Miller, and a lot of it was after they recovered the onside kick. You know, he's an interesting prospect long term. He's probably a slot receiver long term, a Randall Cobb type that we can probably find out is a really good player. I kind of still like him as a prospect, like a super buy low in Dynasty, but not with Mitch Trubisky. I mean, Trubisky's gotten worse. There's no other way to put it. He's gotten worse. He was bad last year and he's gotten worse.
I was really impressed with Anthony Miller's film last year. This year, He hasn't seemed like the same player. I mean, maybe he's still dealing with that injury that kept him mostly out in weeks 1 and 2, and Taylor Gabriel passed him up as a result of that. He just doesn't look like the same player. Tags, I wouldn't mind using him in week 9 against Philadelphia, but this week he's probably going to be a wide receiver 5 for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not great, but like I said, the reason I wanted to bring up those receivers, I think people pay attention to the target shares, and they're like, you know, what about Erickson? What about Miller? And those are guys I just wanted to at least touch on just to see if there was any interest in you guys.
I guess that's all for the running backs and wide receivers. Chris, it was a pleasure. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, you guys. It was a blast.
All right, Tags, now that it's just the two of us, we're going to talk quarterback, tight end, DST, and let's start at the quarterback position. I'm seeing Cam Newton has now been dropped in well over 50% of leagues. Is he your number one pickup if he's available? I don't even know if he gets the job back over Kyle Allen.
He's not. He's not my number one pickup, and they've already announced Kyle Allen as the starter for this week. Cam Newton's not getting that job back anytime soon.
I mean, you wouldn't use him against San Francisco anyway, but I'm just saying long term, he's got top five quarterback upside, right?
He does, but he's not someone I'm willing to stash on my bench. I mean, they have San Francisco this week. They have Tennessee after that, which has not been a great matchup for quarterbacks. So, yeah, I'm not really into stashing Cam Newton right now. I don't think he gets the job back until Kyle Allen kind of gives it up. And
that's probably going to happen when he plays San Francisco, Tennessee, Green Bay 3 straight weeks.
It's definitely possible, but I'm going to go with the quarterback that just came off a really good game, and he's starting in a really good matchup this week, and that's Ryan Tannehill. I was combing through the next-gen stats on Ryan Tannehill, and I saw that based on like the depth of his throws and how tight the window was that he was throwing into, he had an expected completion rate of 57%. He completed 79% of his passes.
He's got some good wide receivers on his team too.
He does, and he knows how to target them too. Corey Davis and AJ Brown both saw a season high in targets this week, and they did it in I'm not going to say that the Chargers is a tough matchup anymore, but it's not a matchup like they have this week against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, I kid you not. So over the last four games that Tampa Bay has played, they have allowed an average of 348.5 passing yards per game, 2.5 touchdowns, and that's not even including Daniel Jones's 2 rushing touchdowns. The best part about it though, Bobby, is that in that stretch, those four games, they have not played a top 15 fantasy quarterback. They played Daniel Jones in his like NFL debut, basically, as a starter, Jared Goff, who's been terrible, Teddy Bridgewater, and Kyle Allen. Those were the quarterbacks they played, allowing those numbers. Ryan Tannehill is probably going to be inside he might be a top 12 quarterback for me this week.
I was thinking the same thing, man. And it's so funny that you say this. First of all, a lot of people are mad at me for saying that they've got some good wide receivers. Have you guys seen AJ Brown play football? He's extraordinarily talented. He hasn't been on the field that much, but he was on the field quite a bit in week 7. Corey Davis obviously looked great. He's flashed greatness at times, but he had Marcus Mariota throwing him the ball. Ryan Tannehill's not horrible. You look at his career, and I don't know if he's ever had a season as bad as Eli Manning's best season of all time.
He played under some bad coaches there in Miami too. So I don't want to, and Tannehill, it was awesome to watch him do well. Like he really, it was just like, you looked at his performance and it's like, when was the last time Marcus Mariota had a performance like that? The answer, you'd have to go back probably a couple years.
That is going to make the Giants fans so mad. I'm sorry, guys. I don't hate on the Giants. Just you look at Eli Manning's career. And what is his best season of all time? Maybe 2010. He had 31 touchdowns. He had 25 interceptions and just a 7.4 yards per attempt. That's about what Ryan Tannehill averages, guys, without the interceptions.
Yeah, coming into the season, I actually posted something on Twitter. I think it was back in like June, saying it's odd that the Titans went out and grabbed Marcus Mariota's cologne in terms of Ryan Tannehill, because if you put their numbers up next to each other, they were nearly identical. It was so crazy. You could say that Tannehill hasn't had as good a talent as Mariota's had around him throughout his career. I know that Mariota just got the upgrade in talent, but he just hadn't progressed in his career, where it's like Tannehill in a new situation. We hadn't seen this. And obviously, he got off to a good start, and it makes me confident enough to start him against Tampa Bay.
That's what I was going to say. He's good enough to start against Tampa Bay. I would start Daniel Jones against Tampa Bay, Andy Dalton against Tampa Bay, Kirk Cousins against Tampa Bay. Tannehill's about in that group in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They're not going to be able to run the ball. And that's another thing, like, about this matchup that's really, like, it's probably going to go overlooked a little bit because people are going to be worried about Tannehill. The reason I like him so much is you can't run the ball on Tampa Bay. And people, like, the Bucs have allowed, in 5 of 6 games, they've allowed at least 31 points. The crazy part is that they've allowed a league low, like, nobody in the NFL is better, 2.72 yards per carry.
That's hilarious.
No, and seriously, it's despite playing against Christian McCaffrey twice, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, Matt Breida, and Todd Gurley. So they haven't had, like, oh, Adrian Peterson was on their schedule and this, and Ronald Jones. I mean, I know they can't play themselves, but basically it just, they haven't had a light matchup on their schedule and they've still dominated against the run. So I'm all about Tannehill this week.
All right, let's say that Tannehill's out there with Kirk Cousins, who's owned in about 60% of leagues, going up against Washington at home, or Matthew Stafford at home against the Giants. Let's throw another one in there. Jacoby Brissett at home against Denver. Which of these four would you rather have?
I'm going to go with Stafford here against the Giants. There's like no reason to fade him. He would definitely be my streaming quarterback. Tannehill and Cousins are very close for me. I think Tannehill probably has more upside because Cousins is not going to have to throw a whole lot against Washington on Thursday Night Football. But they're both safe options is how I feel about them.
Yep, I would agree with that. I'm going with Matthew Stafford against the Giants. Tags, let's move on over to the tight end position. And we do have a streamer that I really like this week, at least.
If Jared Cook is out, you pick up Josh Hill and you play him, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'd rather just go Vance McDonald if he's healthy against the Dolphins on Monday night.
Is Vance McDonald ever healthy?
I mean, if he's active, let's just say he's active. He doesn't have to be healthy to dominate the Dolphins.
I'm not saying he does, but they also don't have to throw a whole lot to beat the Dolphins. So I actually think that Josh Hill, if Jared Cook is out, I think Josh Hill might be my streamer of choice.
Interesting. Okay. What if Chris Herndon is active? Would you rather use him against Jacksonville?
No. I wouldn't. I'm going to wait. Like, the idea on Herndon is that, yes, okay, you know, Sam Darnold looked good and it's possible that he comes back. And it seems like he does target the tight end a little bit more than even, you know, the previous quarterbacks like Trevor Siemian and Luke Falk did in the same offense, because we did see Ryan Griffin catch a touchdown. So I'm opening the possibility that Herndon is a better streamer than I thought. But with players that are coming off multi-week injuries like that, off a suspension, playing in a new offense, like, you want to give them at least a week to make sure you understand their role and if he's going to be on the field in the full-time role coming off that injury. So he's like down under Vance McDonald for me for sure. What about Jonnu Smith? If for whatever reason Delanie Walker needs to miss the game against Tampa Bay, do we play Jonnu Smith?
Oh, well, Walker's a little bit banged up. I mean, I think there's a possibility of it. Yeah, I think Smith is a talented tight end. And if he was able to get, you know, 60, 70, 80% of the snap count, I'd like to play him against Tampa. I think I'd rather play an active Vance McDonald against Miami. I like what you said about Josh Hill, but I mean, they're all in that conversation of tight end 11 to tight end 16, someone I wouldn't mind playing, but wouldn't be excited about.
Yeah, I mean, there's only two teams. The reason that it's like with tight ends, I want to attack matchups if I can. And Jonnu Smith, obviously with Tannehill, I just talked about the fact that Tampa doesn't allow anything against the run. Tampa has only played six games this year. They've allowed five tight end one performances, like top 12 in terms of like numbers and average.
So you're saying you're stacking Ryan Tannehill and Jonnu Smith this week in DFS?
I might, even Corey Davis and AJ Brown. Let's just go all out, Bobby.
Yeah, kind of like my Packers stack that you guys made fun of.
I didn't make
I know, I'm just messing with you. I saw a couple comments on Twitter and you were actually really nice about it. And we're like, oh yeah, that might actually work out for you. I'm not going to do it, but it worked.
Yeah, no, it definitely did. Aaron Rodgers, if you had Rodgers in DFS, like, you probably made a lot of money last week.
Oh, well, I did not have Marvin Jones or Chase Edmonds. So it was kind of capped out with how much I could win without those guys.
Yeah, it happens.
Tags, let's go DST. Obviously, Pittsburgh against Miami, if they're available. I mean, they're out there in 50% of leagues, but that's an obvious one. Like, they're a top three DST next week. What about units that are owned in less than 30, 40% of leagues? Who do you like?
I'm going to go with the Lions. They are going to be at home. They're big favorites. Like, they're going to be favored by probably a touchdown. And Daniel Jones, ever since his debut, he has not been very good. Like, looking at, you know, going through like the last games, he's thrown seven interceptions over the last four games. They've fumbled the ball five times during that stretch. He's been sacked 13 times over the last three games. So, I mean, Detroit has been a competent defense. It seems like they're probably going to be without Darius Slay, which definitely hurts a little bit. But you're kind of playing this one for the turnovers and the sack potential that you have against Daniel Jones.
You know, I also like the Indianapolis Colts. Like, let's not pretend that the Colts didn't shut down Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Matt Ryan. Like, this is a really good defense. They've also racked up 16 sacks on the season as well. And that includes with their bye in week six. So if you think they're not going to slow down Joe Flacco, I don't know what to tell you. They are.
I'm pretty sure that Denver is just going to like run the ball every play. Doesn't matter what the score is, that they're just not going to let Joe Flacco throw the ball anymore.
Any other DSTs that you like?
Not really off the top. I mean, there'll be more throughout the week that I kind of discover, but those are the ones I think about now.
Jets against Gardner Minshew. Not necessarily Gardner Minshew. Against that offensive line that's just horrid. I think that's a really interesting one. I'm not really seeing any others that I love. What about Philadelphia against Buffalo if they're available?
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad play. I'm curious to see.
Philly's defense is so bad, but I mean, it's Josh Allen.
I'm curious to see if Philadelphia makes a move at the trade deadline, because like that's a team that if they want to be contenders, they're missing like parts like on their defense, and especially in that secondary, that they need to do something. And the trade deadline's coming up. It's going to be, I think it's next Monday or Tuesday. So, yeah, we have a week to see kind of what happens. They could make a move this week.
Do you think that they are contenders? I mean, they're sitting there at 3-4.
In that division, yeah. I mean, the Cowboys are 4-3, so it's not like the Cowboys are running away with it. They're just a game out of first place. So I know the tiebreaker now goes to the Cowboys, but I still think they're definitely contenders. The Cowboys have been streaky.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's a really good point. Okay, Tags, let's play drop or keep. We're going to go back to the running back position. These are players who I've been getting a lot of questions about, just, you know, people wondering if they should actually continue to hang on to them. David Montgomery.
Oh, you keep.
Yeah, I think so too. Joe Mixon. I've been getting so many questions about Mixon. You got to keep him, right?
Yeah, you keep him. It's frustrating, but you keep him.
Devin Singletary after what happened in week 7.
Kind of knew that. We kind of talked about that. I think you keep him. You know, there'll be better weeks. Buffalo didn't run away with that game like we thought. They didn't rack up as many carries, and you keep him for now.
Damian Williams.
Keep. He's still one of the best handcuffs. I mean, he's not somebody that you're going to play right now, but he's the handcuff to McCoy.
I would agree with that. Tariq Cohen.
Keep.
You're keeping Cohen?
Yeah. I mean, the targets he's getting are worth quite a bit. I mean, I know it's not sexy and all that, but if you're in a standard league, probably not. But if you're in like a half PPR or PPR format, I'd still consider him a top 40 running back. And there's just nothing on the waiver wire that you like have to go and grab. You know what I mean? Like, I would rather own Tariq Cohen over someone like a Frank Gore, who's not sexy, like Adrian Peterson, Rashad Penny. These guys, I would rather own Tariq Cohen.
You know, if Tariq Cohen was on the waiver wire, we'd be like, yeah, if you need somebody, go pick him up. We know what he's going to be. Now, it's not especially pretty. Now, maybe they'll start using him more, and it will be. He was a top 15 fantasy running back last year. He can get back to that. It's not like he's a totally different player. This offense doesn't look as good, but Cohen still has that upside. But he also has a nice, safe wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 floor.
Kind of. I mean, if you look in PPR formats, he's scored at least 10 PPR points in 4 of 6 games. He has had 19 targets over the last 2 games. So the Bears defense, first off, is like they're struggling and they're no longer a team that's going to shut down opponents. So they're going to have to throw the ball a little bit more like we saw them do in the Saints game this week. So if that happens, Tariq Cohen's going to be worth a lot more because he's the best passing down back they have.
This one is so frustrating, Tex. So Jamal Williams goes for 22 points in week 6, 3 carries in week 7. Do you cut him?
No, I mean, it depends on who you're cutting him for. Like, would you cut him for Chase Edmonds? Obviously, yes. But, I mean, would you cut him for Kareem Hunt? That's like the territory that I would say Jamal Williams belongs in, where Kareem Hunt is going to be back in week 10. We don't know the role he's going to have. I'm 100%. I don't want to say I'm 100%, but I'm pretty certain that he's not going to garner too many touches, that he's more of a handcuff, but he's one of the best handcuffs there is. The question is like, would you cut Jamal Williams for someone like Mark Walton?
No, not for Mark Walton, not for Kareem Hunt. I think I would for Alexander Mattison or Tony Pollard. That's about it.
Yeah, that's basically where I'm at. He's still one of the better handcuffs. And if something were to happen to Aaron Jones or he were to fumble or drop a pass, then we're going to see Jamal Williams walk into a bigger role.
Darius Geis, Tags.
Drop.
He's coming back to practice next week.
I mean, I don't think anybody's holding him. If you've been holding him this long, I'm guessing you're going to hold him longer. But
is he an interesting pickup to you?
No. I mean, Bryce Love is going to be back around the same time. And Adrian Peterson has a role. And Chris Thompson's turf toe will be better by the time that happens. This is just an ugly situation.
Ronald Jones and or Peyton Barber.
Ugh. I mean, I have no issue. If you want to drop them, you can do it. I have no issue with that. I mean, again, it just really depends on what you're dropping them for, because you can't really trust either of them right now. And then going up against Tennessee this week, nobody's going to play them against Tennessee this week. You shouldn't play them this week.
Yeah. You know what's really bothering me, Tags? 5 people a week keep asking me, hey, should I drop AJ Green this week? Like, what have you been holding him for?
Yeah, I'm not going to cut him now. I definitely wouldn't cut him now.
Well, I mean, for the moment he comes back, he's a wide receiver 1. He's always been a wide receiver 1 when he's been active.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing Alex Erickson and Auden Tate get like 12, 14 targets, like ridiculous target numbers.
Right. John Ross was a wide receiver 3 in this offense before he went down.
He might have even been better than that on a per game basis. But yeah, like for sure. Like it's a very concentrated offense. A lot of it goes to the wide receivers. They don't use the running backs for whatever reason. So yeah, AJ Green's going to be, he's going to be like for sure a top 20 play every single week. And as you mentioned, it's wide receiver 1 upside.
I've seen a couple questions about Sammy Watkins. There's no way you'd drop him, right?
I'm torn on that one, honestly. Like, I've been...
No way, man. If you're going to drop him, you call me and trade him to me.
I continue to drop him down my rankings. I don't know if I drop him yet. It just depends on who it's for, but yeah, I'm not...
If you're drafting today, he's a top 40 wide receiver, right?
No.
Whoa, man.
I have him... Right now, I'm looking at it. I have him at wide receiver 43.
That's still draftable, but man, yeah, he's fallen.
Yeah, it's not good.
Josh Gordon.
Hold.
Yep, I agree with that. Marquise Brown.
I would hold. I mean, if you've held him this long, the bye is coming this in week 8, so just get through the bye and he's probably going to be back. I'm guessing this was the plan all along, to give him some rest and then come back after the bye.
What's the difference right now between Marquise Brown and DeSean Jackson?
DeSean Jackson's proven that he can do it in the NFL over and over. I'd take DeSean Jackson the rest of the season over him.
I'm saying DeSean Jackson, if he's available, if you can get him for cheap, it's going to be a steal in this Eagles offense.
I agree. Like, the defense is terrible. They're allowing a lot of points, and you're seeing Carson Wentz rack up some attempts. You know, Alshon Jeffrey is not a guy that you want to be like a possession receiver. And Nelson Aguilar is forgotten.
And he's going to be hurt in 2 or 3 weeks anyway. It's Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, what the heck's going on with Zach Ertz? Like,
Dallas Goedert's really good. That's what's going on.
No, I know that, but that's what I'm saying. Like, why trade him? Like, get rid of him. Like trade him away. You know, get a cornerback in return. Like, dude, I don't even know why the Eagles wouldn't have entertained the idea of getting Gerrion Conley, who just was traded from the Raiders to the Texans for a 3rd-round pick. Like, Gerrion Conley's a former first-rounder that, you know, is it the scheme? I don't know what's going on with him. He hasn't been terrible, but, I mean, you have to do something.
You would think. I don't think they're going to trade Zach Ertz, though. I'm not sure. Tyrell Williams.
Oh, I have him right there next to Marquise Brown. Guys that you have no guarantee that they're going to play. He was obviously the number one option in his offense, but coming off the bye, I mean, if you have to drop him, if you need help right now, you can't kind of wait on him. I'm okay dropping him if you have to, but...
Yeah. Would you rather have him or someone like Auden Tate?
Wow. You happen to mention the guy I have at wide receiver 49, so I have him 2 spots behind Tyrell Williams. So, like, you're right in that territory with guys like that. So that's basically how I value him. And again, if you need wins now, I would rather have Auden Tate.
All right. Any other wide receivers, running backs you want to talk about?
Not really.
Yeah. Would you own any backup quarterback, tight end, DST?
No.
I think I would stash Dallas Goedert. I'd stash Cam Newton, as we talked about, but only if I've got the extra roster spot. I'd rather stash like 5 or 6 backup running backs ahead of those guys.
I mean, Newton's not running the way he used to. And that's the part is like that I was worried.
Well, because he was dealing with a foot injury. He's had 8 weeks off now. Maybe he's healthy.
I don't think he had a Liz Frank injury that entire time. I think it was just kind of like, it just happened to be like, oh, did he suffer an injury in that game? Oh, like, let's use that as a reason to like kind of put things up. I'm just saying Cam Newton looked like crap. And he's over 30 years old now. The rushing was always going to come back. He's a big dude. Like, he was a guy that you had to change your game plan, like, when playing against him. Now you don't. Like, and if he's running the ball, that means Christian McCaffrey's not, which is kind of dumb.
Well, you do have to change your game plan. What you have to do is bring everybody in, because he's not going to throw it deep.
Yeah. Well, he can't hit anybody deep. That's, I think, the problem.
Yep, that's exactly right. He's got some really good weapons, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, we're going to go to the buy low, sell high segment in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our trade assistant at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. It's going to give you instant analysis on whether or not a trade helps your team. And you can view the power rankings before and after the trade. It even has support for uneven trades, 2-for-1s, 3-for-2s. You guys are going to love it. It's like having a team of experts in your back pocket. Go to fantasypros.com/myplaybook. All right, man, let's go on over to buy low, sell high. Do you have somebody that you'd like to buy low at this point in the season?
Buy low. I think DJ Chark's an interesting one to buy low on. He's one I wanted to mention just because he's coming off 2 down weeks. The first one was against Lattimore, and the second one, it was just like he wasn't targeted very much. Minshew didn't look great. I don't know if that injury that's a real thing. Christian Kirk is someone that I would like to buy before his prices jump up. We've seen Larry Fitzgerald start to slip in terms of like his production. We know that he doesn't have a massive ceiling. And Christian Kirk, when he was on the field, he actually saw more targets than Larry Fitzgerald.
Who would you trade for him?
If I can move him for like a Mike Williams, I would. Maybe a Golden Tate. I would also do that. Curtis Samuel, guys in that range.
I would love to buy Le'Veon Bell right now. And obviously, you won't be able to buy him if he goes for 150 tonight against the Patriots. I don't think that's going to happen because it's the Patriots. But you look at what he's done the last couple weeks. Got whooped by the Patriots, 18 for 35. Got whooped by the Eagles, as expected, because they've got a great run defense, 15 for 43. Got whooped by the Cowboys, because they're the Cowboys. They have a really good run defense, 14 for 50. It's going to happen against the Patriots tonight, I would expect. The next couple weeks, Jacksonville, bad run defense. Miami, horrible run defense. Giants, horrible run defense. Washington, horrible defense. Oakland, Cincinnati, Miami. Le'Veon Bell is about to go nuts.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had Bell in my buy low last week, so I'm not going to back off that now. Even, and again, you're saying after the Patriots game, it's an even better time to buy low on him.
You have anyone else you want to add in this, Tags?
On the sell side, I do.
Who?
I want to sell Odell Beckham. And so I've been, he's someone that I've been like saying to buy because it's like you buy elite like playmakers. Like it's very rare that someone would be willing to get rid of him, but selling him on name value right now makes a lot of sense. And I'm saying that if you, like, so you have to understand that he's going to end up turning it on at some point, but it's probably not going to be the next 3 weeks. We have matchups against the Patriots, Stephon Gilmore shutting down wide receivers. Like, that's not going to be like a great matchup for him. The week after that, it's the Broncos and Chris Harris Jr., again, who has shut down top tier receivers. And then you have the Bills and Tre'Davious White. And these are not matchups that are going to boost his stock. Like, even if he has a good game against them, I would say he'd be a top 20 wide receiver in those games. And that's not going to raise his stock from where it is right now. So right now on name value, you might be able to get something good for Odell Beckham and then trade back for him after 3 weeks of bad production.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think it goes without saying, if you've got any quarterback who's performing well, I would sell him high just because you can play the streamer game. I would not sell any tight end high, no matter how well they're playing. Don't trade one of those top eight tight ends. You're really going to regret it. Tags, I think that I would trade Leonard Fournette right now. Right now, if the draft was today, I'd be willing to wager he would go in the first round, right? He's still injury prone. Like, he's got that behind his name. And because he's been healthy for 7 weeks, everyone seems to forget that he's maybe the most fragile running back in the NFL. He's not going to get Cincinnati every week.
He's not going to get Cincinnati every week, but he's somebody that's like due for touchdown, like positive touchdown regression. He has just one rushing touchdown or one touchdown, I think, as a whole on the year. So he's like someone that's overly due for some touchdowns. And once those start coming in, you're going to see like elite numbers. And with the opportunity he's getting, you cannot find that anywhere. So no matter what nobody's going to be willing to trade you a Le'Veon Bell for him or anything like that. That's like a situation where I would, but again, one for one trades, they just don't work.
I guarantee you could get Le'Veon Bell for Leonard Fournette.
Maybe after this game, you probably can, but Bell, I have.
I'd do that in a heartbeat. I mean, Fournette goes up against the Jets, Houston. That's two good run defenses. Then they get the bye in week 10, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Tampa. You just talked about them. That's six straight weeks where Leonard Fournette goes from a top five or six running back to fringe RB1.
But then, so you make a good point there, Bobby, but then if you stop there at Tampa, okay, if you're a team that's like set up to make the playoffs and you don't have Leonard Fournette, maybe you wait until like he struggles a little bit against these teams and you buy him, because his playoff schedule, the Chargers,
it's as good as it gets, man.
The Raiders, the Falcons, like those are three matchups that he can absolutely smash in.
Yep, that's a good call. All right, Tags, anyone else you want to add?
No, not really. I mean, it's like I said, it's early in the week. I'm going through things, trying to figure out like players, like, you know, the deeper I dive into it, the more I'm able to talk about them.
Thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Eero, where you can go to eero.com/fantasypros and use the code fantasypros at checkout to get your Eero delivered with free overnight shipping. And also ButcherBox, where if you sign up today, you're going to get a free turkey plus $20 off your first box by going to butcherbox.com/fantasypros. And don't forget to check out our trade assistant. Go to fantasypros.com/myplaybook to check it out. For Chris Harris and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast hosts Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.